Hello.
Good morning.
Hi, Ethan.
Hello.
We'll just wait for folks to get connected, and then we have a few business announcements, and then we can get right into the dashboard app.
Yeah, no worries. How are folks?
Hi, everybody. We'll get started in just a minute here. It's still not quite 11 o'clock on my computer, so is there someone who would be willing to do attendance today? Any takers for attendance?
I can do it, Sharon.
Katie, thank you so much. The names are at the bottom of the SIG page, so it's just checking them off. It's pretty easy. And then we'll see if we have any new folks. Okay, just giving it one more minute here. I see we have a lot of folks attending today. Yay. Never a dull moment here in Folio reporting. All right. Okay, let me go ahead and get started with the list of business items that we have, and then we'll jump into our main presentation. Let's see, do we have do we have, yeah, I think we have everybody we need for that. So, welcome to the Folio Reporting SIG meeting here on November 3rd. Can you believe it? We're almost at the end of the year. If you haven't seen the playlist, we have a link right in the Reporting SIG notes here. If you haven't been able to go back and see the videos, there's lots of stuff there. And then the schedule has PowerPoints that you can just download if you have a topic that you missed or something that you want to see again. So don't hesitate to check that out. Let's see. Yeah. Upcoming Reporting SIG meeting topics. Tentatively, we want to talk a little bit more about Community Priorities Dashboard Reporting App. And I am working on arranging an update on the Lists app and what's coming with Sunflower per your request. So we're hoping to have that either the 10th or the 17th. So just working on that. So let's see, we're good with. We're always looking for folks who want to be query de developers. I think we're okay with Documentation Working Group. Yay. And today, we're going to feature Arthur Aguilera from University of Colorado Boulder, and Ethan Freestone and Owen Stevens from KIND, talking the developer side of using the dashboard app for Folio reporting. So we'll get into that in a second. Do we have any? Just want to make sure we have a couple things here. Do we have any new members today who would like to introduce themselves?
I can introduce myself. Hi, I'm Erin Wentz. I'm here because somebody in our consortium who is a regular part of this group sent a message out to everybody saying, "Hey, there's this presentation today. It might be interesting to you." And I know there are a
Cool.
couple of other people in the group that are here for the same reason.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate the free advertising. Thanks so much. Happy to have you here.
Good morning,
Okay. Yes.
Sharon. I'm Constance Sprados from Wesley University, and I am here for exactly the same reason that Erin shared. Someone in our
Okay.
consortium shared the link out, and I thought, wow, this could be good.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right. All right. Well, happy to have you. The last thing, just before we get started, I want to ask is, are there any reporting SIG meeting topics that Scott and I should add to the list? That stuff that you've been wondering about that you'd like us to focus on? Any stuff you can think of, feel free to send me a chat message or an email message or a Slack message at any time if there are topics that you'd like to see. We right now we have just looking at tickets on the community priorities dashboard and changes with the reporting app and the LISAP updates for Sunflower. So if there are any other topics, don't hesitate to reach out. Okay, I will stop my share. And Arthur, Owen, and Ethan, please take it away. Now.
Okay,
Go
thank
ahead.
you. Myself, Arthur, and Ethan will be sharing this presentation. We haven't to run through it like ourselves beforehand, so we're just going to pass to each other as we go. If I just share, I've got a few slides. Or a few slides to just guide us through it, and I can share the link to these slides as well, which I've done in the chat. So the plan is to go over the background and the current dashboard functionality.
Owen, you're cutting in and out for me. Is that?
They usually
Is the audio cutting in and out for others?
Yes.
Yes.
Let me just try swapping. Let me just have a look at the audio settings. Okay, I've just switched those audio settings. Is that any better?
Yes.
Way better. Thank you so much.
Okay. I can turn video as well as suggested. Okay, so yes, I'll cover the background and the current dashboard functionality. I'll hand to Arthur to talk about dashboard at University of Colorado Boulder. I'll talk about our aspirations, and Ethan and I will probably pass back and forth to talk about the technical background and what we might need to support our future aspirations. My name is Owen. I'm the product owner for a range of Folio apps, including agreements, licenses, open access, serials management, and the dashboard. I'll let Arthur introduce himself as he presents, and Ethan also. Actually, let me pass to them now so they can introduce themselves. Arthur, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Arthur Aguilera. I am the head of collection development and assessment at the University of Colorado Boulder. So really excited to be here.
And Ethan, do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Ethan Freestone. I wrote the initial implementation of the dashboard app. I'm team leader at Knowledge Integration and work with Owen closely on the apps you can see on your screen now. And I've been on Folio for about 6 years now.
Okay, thanks both. So So just to those of you who have not used or seen the dashboard, the idea of the dashboard application, which I'll show you in a moment, is that it can provide a completely personalized view for users, as well as working well for teams. And the original conception is that it allows users to see key information at a glance. So it's a way of bringing together data that would otherwise be scattered across different places in Folio. And we originally kind of wanted it to ensure that users and teams were aware of things that required action. In terms of is that reporting? I guess it's a little closer to the kind of in-app reporting. There's no export or print function from the dashboard as it stands. And that wasn't anything we ever discussed, which I guess might be needed for it to be seen as a more true reporting option. But it is a way of being able to say there's this information from these apps that we want to be able to view on a single screen. And the way it works is that users can define one or more dashboards, that's kind of screens within the dashboard. And each dashboard can be populated with what we call widgets, which are self-contained displays of information. And I'll show you what these look like in a moment. And a dashboard can be shared with one or more other users. So when I say dashboard, I mean a screen within the dashboard app can be shared within what with one or more other users. So it's possible for teams to have a standard set of information displayed to them. And in Poppy, it says new to Poppy. That's my error. Introduced in Poppy, I should say. This was an older slide that I just reused. It was it, we've made it possible to resize and rearrange widgets on the dashboards, and I can show that. So I think probably the easiest thing is for me to immediately just show you this. Let's see, I've been looking at so the dashboard app. I don't currently have this is my dashboard app. I don't oh we don't need that. I don't currently have any widgets defined, so I'm not seeing any information here. So if I wanted to add some information to the dashboard, I can add a widget. So let me just add a simple widget. So this is going to take data from the ERM agreements app. I'll talk a little bit about what a widget is and how it's formed and this idea of a widget definition in a moment. But for now, this is essentially saying we're going to take data from the agreements app, and I can define some filters for that. So, for example, if I want to see agreements that have an end date, say that is within 30 days after today, so is within the next 30 days, or within a month, whatever it is, you can define the criteria you want, and you can have multiple criteria that are combined here with an or. So we can have multiple criteria on the same field. So I could say, say, oh. I could say that it's on or after today. And I can also add and combinations. So I can do or and. So let's say and is within 30 days. on or before 30 days after today. So that means that now this together would look for agreements that end on or after today and before 30 days' time. So essentially, agreements ending in the next 30 days. And I could add multiple display information to it. And then when I save and close that, then I get a widget with my results in. So actually, if I set up an agreement that has that criteria, so let's put the date, the end date on Friday this week, and go back to the dashboard, then you can see that I get this display of that agreement. And obviously, if there were multiple agreements in the system, I could see as many agreements here as I was finding. You might have noticed in the widget configuration, you can define somewhat how many results display, but the design was never to allow you to display necessarily every single result here. So we look at the number of rows to display. I think the maximum is 100. So if I try and go 101, I think it will give me an error. So I can display up to 100. And again, this was about actionable information, not an exhaustive report, I guess. And if I just log into Sunflower Bug Fest, then we can see, hopefully, just to pick a system with a bit more data in. Then we can see you can get a layout which starts to bring together. We've got information from agreements, we've got information from widget licenses, we've got information from agreement jobs, which tell us about imports to the of data to the agreements app. And we've got multiple dashboards here. So this is my default one, but I've also got one somebody set up on the 21st of March. And I've got an example, another one, and I can have as many dashboards as I want. And each one of those dashboards, if I go to manage user access, I can decide which users have access to it. So I can add any user that I want. So let's say I've got an ERM test user here called ERM admin. Maybe I haven't. Yeah. Been made inactive. But I can give them access to edit the dashboard, to view the dashboard, edit the dashboard, or manage the dashboard. And the difference between edit and manage is that edit allows them to change the information displayed, the widgets displayed on the dashboard. Manage allows them to change who has access to the dashboard. So this is a bit like the, this is very similar to Google Docs levels of permission. You can either view it, you can edit it, or you can manage it. And manage includes editing and being able to grant other people access. So through this, you can imagine setting up, let's say, an electronic resource management dashboard, which you populate with things like agreements coming up for expiration, licenses that are about to expire, jobs that were unsuccessful or need some attention, and then sharing that, adding all members of the team, of the ERM team, the electronic resource management team, to that dashboard. They would all be able to view it, and you could then, if there were, later additional widgets you wanted to add, then you, everybody would get those changes. They're all looking at a shared view of the same data. So that's the kind of basics of how the dashboard works, and you can move, you can move these things around, so you can rearrange the dashboard to be exactly how you'd like. in terms of layout. And I think that's probably, having shown you the basics, that's probably a good point to pass over to Arthur so he can talk about how they use it at UC Boulder.
Yeah, thanks. I'll probably be super quick because this is one of these apps that we maybe use the least for our reporting, but happy to kind of just show you the quick and easy things that we put together. And then I know you're talking about aspirations, but I have some of my own if I'm able to share before passing it off to. So here's our dashboard environment app. So again, because it's only working with agreements and licenses apps right now, which are the two apps that we sort of use the least of for, or we're still kind of actively setting up and populating with information. So in our kind of use case, we just sort of have one shared dashboard that we've built as a test case. So these are the three instances that we have. So as part of our seeing like what could we be doing with this, some of the use cases that we had were looking, being able to identify licenses that might be ending within the next year, as an example. So here's one widget where we're looking for licenses that have start and end dates, and then anything that is an end date before December 31st, 2026, we want to have it populated here. So again, there's only three showing here. It's be and that's because the licenses app is still being populated right now. It's just something that we're just now kind of really looking to fill up in the next year or so. So we imagine that this will display more content as we kind of get there. The other use case is just, and this is just more of like a playing around, is finding agreements with alternative names. So for instance, the Institute of Electronics and Engineers, we don't have the alternative name displaying here, but if looking at Owen's example, if that's something that we could do, that'd be awesome. But here you can just know that these are the agreements that might have alternative names. We can click on them, go straight to the agreement line, and then here we know that this the alternative names are, Artec House or IEE Explorer, as just a couple of examples. And then the last example that we have, oops, let me go back, is our CU System Agreements app. So these are just a quick high-level overview of all of our, essentially, these are shared resources that we do with the University of Colorado system, which includes the Boulder campus, our Denver campus, our medical campus, and our Colorado Springs campus. So these are all resources that we share. So again, just more high level. And then it, as Owen showed in this example, like what we could do here is that we can customize these. This is a shared agreement that we have. And so we only have a couple of users currently on there. So myself and my colleague Erin Block, she's the one who manages the widget and is giving me view level access. Although even with the view level access, I've noticed that I can still add to the widgets. So I'm not sure if that's a perk or if that's like a permissions oversight there as well. But either way, all of the users that have access to this one, like we can resize it if we want to. We can change it around, and all of the changes will save for everyone, which is kind of cool. The other sort of thing that I'll say here is that I think because it's only kind of working with agreements and licenses right now, we don't really use this as much, but I could imagine that if dashboards worked with orders and invoices and inventory, for example, that we would probably use this quite frequently, especially for what I found for like administrators. So maybe not necessarily, the reports that have all the detailed information, but just high level, what's been paid in the last week, what orders are missing certain information, what items have a certain status, whether they're like missing or long missing. I think there's just so many unique use cases that if the dashboard app worked with all the other apps, like we would use it pretty much constantly. So that's just a very, very quick demo of what we're starting to experiment with and where we're hoping to take everything. So I'll pass it off to Ethan and Owen again.
Thanks, Arthur. I will just, I'm just grabbing a link from the wiki. There is a list of kind of desired dashboard use cases which people have pop like contributed over time. And I think it includes maybe some of those examples that you gave. So I'll just share that wiki page in the chat. Also, Arthur, I would like to pick up on that issue of you definitely shouldn't be, you should only be able to view a dashboard if you've only been given view permission. So I need to get back to you on that and have a look at whether that's a bug that we need to fix.
Yeah, no worries. Like I said, it's just
Okay.
one of the things that we've noticed when we've been playing around with it.
You know which version of Folio you're on at the moment?
Yes, we're on. Ooh, how do I find that out? On without logging out and logging back in. We're
Don't
on
worry, you can send it.
Ramsons. Yeah, we're on Ramsons.
Okay, Ramsons. Okay, cool. I'll try and see if I can recreate that on Ramsons' test system then. Okay. So, in terms of the way this works, I did mean to mention I showed setting up a widget that kind of queried on dates. Those dates that I used, you might have seen there were options of picking specific dates or relative dates and today, and I used today and relative dates in the query. Those will continue to update. So it will, if you say show me a list of agreements that have an expiry date of today, let's say, in that widget setup, then that widget will always show the agreements expiring on the current date that you're looking at that widget. So you don't have to go, you never have to do that setup again you put in those relative dates, then it will always display data that fulfills that query on the day that you are viewing the widget. And that was one of the things that we felt like was really important and it's a differentiator, I think, between the kind of functionality you have in an app where you might be able to search for exactly the same criteria, but you have to keep like changing it every day. You have to redo the search and you have to update the dates that you're using in that search, etc. In the dashboard, once you set that up, it's then saved and you can always view it. And I think that's a really important aspect of that functionality. It's kind of alive, updated, as it were. So I don't know how interesting it is to people to dive into the the extreme technical detail here, but the structure, the dashboard, as you saw, is made up of widgets, and the widgets are at the heart of the dashboard functionality and have this structure. They have a front-end component, a widget type, a widget definition, and a widget instance. And if we look at how this works, the widget type defines the basic structure of the widget. The widget definition configures a widget, in our case, for a specific API, which is called the KIWT, Knowledge Integration Web Toolkit API, or KIWT API, which did which and that config that definition like tells the system what searches and filters are supported. And then we have the widget instance. And when you saw like a widget on the screen, which Arthur was showing, they had three widgets in their dashboard, or when I was doing that, setting up a widget and displaying it, that's called a widget instance. So the widget instance is the thing that the user configures and sees on the screen based on a widget definition, which is like the type of widget, if you like, the or not the type of widget, but the like when I was choosing, was it agreement data I was displaying or license data I was displaying? That's the widget definition. Ethan.
Yeah, I think just to add on to that, the design here was to try and encapsulate the idea that it shouldn't be additional work every time we want to add another module functionality to this dashboard. We didn't want it to be a whole load of coding work. So the basic idea is that the what is supported is wrapped up in what we've called that type, and those are quite sort of tightly defined by our module. But once that type is defined, it's up to the individual modules to say, here are the resources that we offer, and the system automatically generates everything that you saw from there. So we did not design a different form screen for agreements versus licenses versus the jobs. There is one type defined, and the front end can then build what it knows about that from what the module that's delivering those resources says, here's what I'm capable of delivering. So the idea is to try and keep it so that all of the work is done up front. You design a level of generality that you that makes sense, and I'll talk a bit more about that in the aspirations later. But from there, all that's needed to support this in theory is a developer writing a what is effectively a chunk of JSON. And I know the next screen has some JSON on it. But it effectively turns an implementation of the dashboard for a given module into, can I write some information about what my module supports? Which is quite a powerful idea. But as again, I'll mention a bit later, it picking the level that you want to do that at is quite important, because it's very easy to get lost in infinite configurability and deliver in the end a not very polished or difficult to test experience, versus something that's way too tight, too tightly configured, and actually you don't really get any configurability out of it at all. So a lot of it comes down to designing that level of generality, but it does mean that actually we started, I think when we launched Dashboard, there were three widgets definitions, and we've been able to add more over the last couple of releases in pretty quick turnaround times, because it does come down to just writing some JSON that defines what that particular module is capable of delivering.
Yeah, and I think that thanks, Ethan. I think that that's so that is a good segue onto aspirations, really, because the situation at the moment is that there's in order to display this information on the dashboard, essentially we need a way of querying for that data. And the API we currently support for those queries. So all of the widgets use the same query API to query apps for data. And those apps support a common query API called the Simple Search API. And they're all ones written by Knowledge Integration. So the company that Ethan works for. And so agreements, licenses, serials, and open access. And the reason that, as Ethan says, that it's relatively easy for us to add new widgets there is that as long as it's querying one of these simple search APIs, then like it already has the code that knows this is how you do a simple search query. And all we have to kind of really tell it is like, what are the properties you can query? What kind of queries can you do for that property? So you can see this definition essentially is saying, these are the results columns that you can get. And These are the filters that you can support. And so essentially each type of widget you saw, like when I was adding a widget to the screen, when I get to choose what widgets are supported, what I want to add to my dashboard, it's limited by the number that we've defined with these definitions. And at the moment, we are limited to apps that support this simple search API, because that's where we've written the code that says, like, this is how you do a query of the API, and it just needs the configuration. And that limits us to essentially ones written by knowledge integration. So the limitation there, like to ERM apps, is not anything special about ERM as a subject area, but is special about the fact that it happens that agreements and licenses, and now serials and open access, are all written by knowledge integration using a standard framework, which includes the ability to query using this simple search API. We've always wanted to go beyond that, and being able to bring data together from a wider range of applications, just as Arthur was suggesting in his presentation, talking about what they'd like to be able to do. We'd love to be able to support that. And essentially, resources, that is like time and developer time and or money, if you like, and competing priorities. So the team that we have available to do work on this has other priorities, other barriers to progressing these aspirations. And so I wanted to just say, like, the types of widgets we've talked about supporting, we've had different discussions over time. Most recently, we've talked about being able to display lists from the Lists app. So Sharon mentioned the Lists app earlier. The Lists app obviously allows you to do reporting across modules already, and allows you to define lists. Those lists are available in the Lists app, obviously. What the Lists app doesn't have, which the dashboard app has, is obviously that ability to display the multiple sets of results on the screen at the same time, to adjust the amount of space, or all of that kind of stuff around, using a space, and the team aspects of sharing a preset dashboard with other members of the team. So, like, I feel like we could add value over the Lists app as it stands there. But obviously, at the same time, and the lists, like, are just individual things. Like, all of the search configuration, et cetera, is already done in lists. We wouldn't need to do that again. You just say, okay, there's a list that's been defined that called this, it's been set up in the Lists app, display the data from that list. And that could just know about retrieving data from the Lists app and displaying it, which would be, I think, quite a simple concept. It's a kind of single API. There is some complexity to it, because different the data you get back from the Lists app, when you get a list back over the API, includes like all of this information about the columns that you're displaying and which data is in which columns. But essentially, as long as we could process that JSON, we could display the results in a widget that you could then move around the screen or share or whatever. The downside is that it doesn't go beyond lists. Like, it would mean that you could use anything that already lists could talk to, but it doesn't go beyond that, and maybe doesn't. It's a minimal step forward in terms of, like, it's more about displaying the same data in a different way. We did also talk about going directly to ModFQM, which is the technology that underlies the Lists app. So, Folio Query Manager, I think it stands for. So that's the back end that is actually bringing together the data or the data schema to allow you to query across apps in Folio. That would be a bit more powerful from if we added that to dashboard, but because we could decide, on a different implementation, I guess, to the one that lists have already, but has the risk of rebuilding functionality that already exists in lists, I guess. That's a potential downside. I think there are some things that, like in terms of querying, we already have things like this idea of relative dates, which I don't think the list apps currently supports. You like if you do a query in lists, you're just writing a query that is then static, whereas the dashboard could feed into ModFUM different sets of like variables essentially that you could include in your search, potentially. But I think there's a risk there that we're substantially rebuilding functionality that already exists in lists. And both of those approaches are ones we've talked about because we've what it, they both offer ways of bringing data from across Folio apps without necessarily having to do like essentially through one common entry point. So you're just having to do an integration basically with one application. Another approach that we've talked about, and for a couple of examples, so one is receiving pieces from the work we did on serials. We looked at the possibility of creating a receiving pieces widget. Now, this could use SQL as a common query language. I mentioned that at the moment, all the widgets use Simple Search API. If we built a widget that understood, or a widget type that understood SQL and knew how to query using SQL, that could then be used across multiple modules, because of course, many Folio modules understand SQL as a query language. And we could start to do that. And if we w could do that, say, for receiving pieces, it would, in theory, not be a big step to also doing it for something like order line search and display, or some of the examples that Arthur gave. So those that approach of doing that was originally what we thought we'd do. Once we'd done the initial implementation of dashboard, we felt that SQL was the next obvious one to approach. But those have been sitting on the drawing board for so long now that we have in that time had discussions about different approaches, including things like the lists and ModFQM. And then finally, the other one that I wanted to talk about was we'd also had the idea at the moment the dashboard is retrieving data and displaying that as a list of data. So it sends off a search, it gets back a chunk of data, and it displays it as a list. And that's kind of a bit dull, because it's what we do all over the place. And sometimes adding graphical aspects to that could be a nice idea. So we did discuss something like this example of a fun balance bar chart, where we would retrieve data from the finance module, but rather than just displaying it as a list of data, we could display it using a graphing library in the front end. We could display it as a bar chart, for example, or some suitable graphical display, which we felt like that's a slightly more exciting, in a sense, presentation to do. It's like, oh, you can have nice pictures, but I'm sure you know from reporting that, at the heart of it's all lists of numbers and things. It like putting a layer over the top to display that nicely might be something that's really useful to do, and you can see how that would be a nice dashboard widget that you could have. But ultimately, it's putting a graphical layer over data you've had to retrieve and synthesize into, say, in this case, groups of fund headings. So those are like those kinds of things are what we would aspire to be able to do, certainly from our own work. I don't know, Ethan, if you want to say anything about any like technical design that work that would need to go into being able to do that?
I think we've talked a couple of times here about the similarities and differences between us and the Lists app, and the underpinning FQM. Again, without getting too bogged down in the sort of technical details, as I understand it, FQM is sort of a direct line to the underlying data, whereas the approach taken with Dashboard, actually, which started before the Lists app existed, was to do everything through the APIs for these modules. With that design comes the ability to also query things that are not in Folio, like things that are outside of Folio, because it's all driven by just configuration of queries that are happening on the front end as you go. There's nothing stopping us directly talking through to Mod FQM. If it doesn't have an API, we'd need to sort of design that interface. So there's the potential for some slightly more complicated development there, but at its heart, pretty much all of this is just API calls that you might do with curl in a terminal or anything like that. And Owen, as Owen says, as it comes down to it, it is just displaying data, and we can sort of wrap that however we like. The lists of data obviously are an extension of what we have. CQL would require a design that says, how do we turn sort of a set of information about a resource into a query, exactly the same as what we've done with simple search. The graphs are obviously, as Owen said, the sort of snazzy use case, but would likely be a lot more involved. It would be a case of, right, we're gonna pull data from one or potentially even more sources, have to transform it into a given shape, and give the user the ability to configure that somehow. So the design side of that, both from the design of the type, but also then the work on the front end, is a lot more involved. But I think the idea of a future dashboard implementation where you're looking at a set of not just tables dotting across, but sort of things that you can truly see at a glance, I do think it makes for a really compelling use case. I think we're about to go into sort of whether anybody has any questions. I'm happy to go deeper into technical stuff if people have specific questions or talk about any specifics there. But I think that just about covers the sort of general part of it is, yeah, we need to take use cases and design what the level of generality that we want to support there is at a sensible level to try and make it as seamless as possible for each module developer to say, I want to put some of my data for users onto this thing. There's no point making the world's best, most configurable, do everything type if it takes 3 years just to write the JSON to support that, because no one's going to do it. So it's about finding that balance.
Yeah, and I think that, thanks, Ethan. I think that, yeah, in terms of questions, obviously, we're happy to answer questions that you may have. I'm sure Arthur is happy to answer any questions that he can answer as well. But also, I think we'd be interested in hearing from you from the reporting perspective. I've talked about like our aspirations. Our aspirations and discussions about the dashboard have always been driven, I think, from a kind of a more kind of workflow based perspective, like people want to carry out certain tasks. And obviously, like reporting is a complex kind of beast. And when we talk about reporting, we can mean that kind of thing. But I guess I'm interested from a reporting perspective, if you were to have aspirations for an app of this type, like what would you like to see added to it, you know, or what potential do you see in it from the perspective of reporting, whatever perspective you bring to that? But yeah, so as I say, very happy to take questions or take comments about how you would love to see it develop or how you might see it being used.
Hi, Joanne.
Owen. Owen and Ethan and Arthur. just a comment. Since I began looking at the dashboard app, and that was a few years ago at this point, the one thing that I have wished for is the ability for it to do cross-app functionality. And that's the complex thing that you were talking about that, would be difficult to pull off in any sort of reasonable amount of time. But from a reporting view, I would say most of the reports that I do are really cross-app type of things. So you have orders app, invoices app, organizations app, then you have inventory, which seems to go into everything that I do, and then you have the various circulation related apps. And that type of functionality seems to be very basic to what I see as a need. I mean, it's very nice as far as it goes, what you showed us. It's just that it would be so much more useful, I think, if there were that cross-app ability.
Yeah, no, thanks, Joanne. I mean, I think that that is something we all feel about Folio pretty much all the time. I'm sure
Yes.
from a reporting perspective, you do. And I think from the dashboard perspective, there are two ways you could argue you could approach that. I think one is we could say that that kind of thing is just fundamentally difficult in Folio because of the way
Yes.
Folio is constructed architecturally. And if there are routes of having that data exposed in via an API, so let's say from MetaDB or like via the LD Lite or via the UI reporting app, then we could do an integration from dashboard into those APIs and display data coming back that has already been combined, essentially. So like we could say dashboard certainly isn't the place to bring data together and do cross like performative queries across your whole data set. You need a solution like MetaDB for that, or LD Lite or one of those reporting solutions. I think the other thing that we could look at doing, I suspect Ethan's going to tear his hair out, but you could do joins, what we would call front-end joins, where we retrieve data from, say, the orders app, and that has a reference to an invoice, and we do a further retrieval to display the information from the invoice app that's linked. And that's definitely possible. And of course, does happen in places in Folio. You do have screens that do exactly that. You display, say, in agreements. You can have links between agreements and orders. And we have a functionality where if you look at an agreement that has a linked order, we display the linked order information. And orders does the same in reciprocally. The problem tends to be that one hop with that is probably okay. But doing multiple hops starts to get more complex. And of course, deciding upfront exactly what data should be retrieved and displayed becomes like difficult to coordinate in advance because people have different requirements. So I think that I could see some work on that panning out. So I could see like, you know, something like a link between orders and invoices maybe working, maybe even in orders, invoices, and inventory. But I think that you start to see performance issues, you start to see complexity in configuration. Sharon,
Oh
you had
yeah.
your hand up, and Ethan, I see, does as well.
I totally see that. It's not a it's not an easy ask for sure. But yeah, just the three apps that you mentioned, that is seems to come up all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
Sharon, did you have a
I
something you
have a
wanted
question,
to
but
add?
I think Ethan might be responding to
Yeah,
what the other question was.
sure.
So,
Go ahead, Ethan.
Yeah, I think the key part there that Owen mentioned is that dashboard is really designed as a display of information that already exists generally. So it's a place to bring together information that exists. I think there's potentially work we could do, like Owen says, either as a front-end join or with a slightly more convoluted or carefully designed type that can mediate requests that allows you to do multiple API calls and display that data in perhaps interesting ways or where they cross over or things like that. What we fundamentally don't want to be doing is designing queries that cross databases in different modules in dashboard, because it's just really not, it's not designed for that. It is all at the sort of API level. Work that you might be able to do right now by going to those individual apps, clicking, writing some information down, going to another app and cross-referencing. We can potentially look at how we can make types that ease that functionality and that workflow. Apologies, there's a cat sort of buzzing around. But it's not really a place to replace the underlying querying, because it is API level. It is meant for display of data.
Aaron, go ahead.
I think even if it's just focused on agreements, and licenses, and then eventually serials. And what was the other one you had
Open
before?
access.
Open access. That it still could be useful. If you just say, okay, these are the things that you could put on a dashboard. I love it. I wish I could have a dashboard for my life. Just having everything in one place where you can launch what you need to work on that day is just a lovely thing. I also did, you touched on this. I wondered if you had considered including the reporting app as an app that you could bring in, because we do have people who, we're just starting to set it up, but our idea is that, people will be able to launch and run the report from the reporting app that hits our MetaDB data warehouse. And if they had kind of a dashboard app widget that pointed to that, that would be a value for those of us who are using reporting apps. So,
Yeah, I don't. We haven't looked at that, and I don't know. Yeah, well, and I think we should. I mean, it was something that kind of occurred to me even as I was presenting to you guys today, that we haven't ever looked at that. I guess we'd need to understand, obviously, like, as I say, with the Lists app, for example, when you define, I mean, essentially, the Lists app is sort of. It's a way of writing a SQL query that on a restricted set of schema on within Folio without an external reporting solution, and it does that with a bit of cheating of schema sharing between apps. And the way that works is once the list is defined, you can essentially say, give me the content of this list, and you don't need to worry about what the query that list encapsulates is. You just need to say, give me the results. I don't know exactly how UI reporting works in that way, whether it works in a similar way or whether whether it's, yeah, I guess that if it works in a similar way, that there's a saved query somewhere that you can essentially say, give me the results for the query that was saved earlier, then perhaps that would be like, it would seem like a very similar problem to the Lists app. Whereas if it's a, if there's no backend storage of that within the Folio infrastructure, and it's getting that directly from external, then it would be a different type of challenge. And I mean, I'm not certainly not saying that either would be impossible, but I just don't know what type of challenge it is without looking at it, but I think it's a reason, definitely a reasonable suggestion that could work. Ethan.
Yeah, and just to add to that again, it's the idea of it being a different kind of challenge. I think it is in use case and design, in terms of the way that the front end actually functions. They are just API calls, which means that the boundaries for something being inside versus outside of Folio are potentially more blurred when it comes to the dashboard. So doing an implementation with something external, I think the main difficulty comes in taking that use case and saying, right, what is general about that? What could, if we were to do a type that specifically says that one service over there, we want to integrate with that and just that. As soon as that service plus Wibble comes along, we go, all right, we need to rewrite everything and do it again. So there's picking your levels of generality, but as soon as it gets to the front end, as long as we can hit an API somewhere, we can display that information if we've done the work already to write the front end part of it.
Thank you so much. Well, we've had a
Right, I
lot of
think
folks
we're
here. Oh,
pretty much
sorry.
at time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
no, sorry, go ahead, Sharon. I was just going to pass back to you.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Are there any other questions before we leave? No. Okay. I just want to thank Arthur, Owen, Ethan for all coming today and providing us with this great information. And I think the dashboard app is really interesting and has potential. And is already, helping in the areas that it's set up for. So really, really appreciate your walking through this for us today. Very, very interesting topic. And I encourage you to follow up with any of these three if you're interested in more information or you have an app in mind that you'd like them to integrate or what have you. All right. Thanks very much, everybody. Have a great rest of your week and thanks for joining us.
Thanks all.
Thank you all.
Thank you.